if you would. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15. We're going to start reading in verse 22. 1 Samuel 15. Starting at verse 22. Amen. The word of God reads, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king.'" Let us pray. God, I pray today that you would take these lips of clay and you would use them for your glory. Father, every person under the sound of my voice, I pray that they have an anointing to receive the word on today. None of me, but all of you. Now, God, anoint me to be able to preach your word and teach your word, oh God, and just obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have your seats. Glory to God. Take a rest. Amen. It's my time to stand. Glory to God. And I'm okay with it. I really am. So if I could be obedient to God and have every man in here stand to his feet. Amen. Every man stand to your feet in Jesus' name. As I prepared the message, I had two things written down in my notes, and I didn't know where God was going with them. And so now as I sit here and listen to the praise and worship, knowing not if I should preach or not, because we went there, amen. God has a word for every man in this house. And I want you to repeat the word after me so you can get it in your spirit. Repeat after me and say, "My call is great."
My call is great.
Uh-huh. Say it one more time. My call is great. Now say, "Just obey."
Just obey.
Amen. Have your seats in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if you're a person that like to take notes, the title of the message is, "Will You Obey Even When It Makes No Sense to You?" Amen. Will you obey even when it makes no sense to you? So I thought long and strong about this. It's sometimes easy to obey when it makes sense to you, amen? When you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you know what was said, and you're going to follow the instructions, you're going to do what God said because you feel comfortable in the thing that God has given you. The instructions were given, they were confirmed by three or four people, and now you're going to operate and do what God has called you to do, amen? Glory to God, because we Christians and we walk by faith and not by sight, and we do what God say every time he blow, we run, amen? And so we're gonna do what God says because we understand what he's asking us. But can you follow and can you obey when it makes no sense to you? Because it don't make sense to me, does it mean that God didn't give the instructions? And even when God gives the instructions, can I still be obedient to what he told me to do, even though it don't really make sense to me? So what I want to do is give you three takeaways, and this is going to be very important before I get into the story and I begin to dissect what it is the text scripture is wanting to say to us on today. Three takeaways I need you to know. Number one, if you're taking notes, just write a real relationship. Mm-hmm. A real relationship. Number two, knowing who I am. knowing who I am. And number three, a heart of repentance. Amen. A real relationship. Think about that for a second. I'm talking about the type of relationship where I truly understand what God has called me to do, and I'm in constant communication with him, and I'm obeying him. When he say go, I go. When he say do, I do. Amen. When he say, I say. That type of relationship. Not the relationship where I begin to do things like I think they should be done, and I believe God said it. And so every time I say something, I'll say to somebody, I believe this is what God is saying. No, you got to know that's what God is saying. Because, you know, people make decisions a lot of time based off of the advice that we give them. And so it's important that we know what God said for an individual, because before we start telling them stuff. So that true and that real relationship with God allows me the opportunity to have constant relationship with him. We're going to see that in the story. That Samuel was so connected to God that when he spoke, it was to be. He had a real relationship with God. Now, I want to help you guys understand something. Number two, being knowing who I am. See, it's very important to you being able to obey God without knowing who you really are. You are a three-part being, and it's very important to understand. You are a three-part being. That means that I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I possess a soul. It's important to understand, folk, I'm telling you. I am a three-part being. I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I possess a soul. How do I know I'm a spirit? The Bible says in Genesis, he said he created me in his image. The Bible lets us also know that God is a spirit. And so he made me in his image, and he's a spirit. That means that I am a spirit, amen? And this dust suit, this dirt suit that I wear today is just a body. And then I possess a soul, my intellect, who I am. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that I need to get in the word. I need to renew my mind to the things of God, because the mind that I was born with was of Adam. And we don't need to go there, amen? So you have to understand that. So when you're operating and you're trying to obey God, you can't obey God in your flesh. You have to obey God in your spirit. Because that's the thing that's going to give me constant communication with him. I am a spirit. I live in a body and I possess a soul. Amen. It's very important to understand as it pertains to knowing who I am. And then the heart of repentance said that I'm not perfect. Even when I'm walking in obedience, and even sometimes when I miss the mark, it means that I understand I got to go get that right with the Father. So I have to live a lifestyle of repentance. It don't mean that I'm going to constantly do the same thing over and over and keep going to God and ask God to forgive me. But when I truly miss the mark, even when that thing has a stronghold on me, I know how to go to the Father and get repentance. Amen? I need to have a lifestyle of repentance. It's important to obeying God. Is it important to you being able to follow and obey God even when it makes no sense to you? Because if I understand in my spirit, man, amen, I got to do what God has called me to do. That means that when my flesh want to rise up and do something different, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to be led by my spirit and not by my flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Good God Almighty. So here's what we're going to have to do, amen. You're going to have to go to 1 Samuel, and we're going to have to start at verse 8, or chapter 8, amen. Thank you, babe. We're going to have to start with chapter 8 in order to get to 15, 22, and 23, where we're going to land the plane, amen. So let's look at 8 for a second. And I just want to highlight some things here so it's important to your hearing to understand the story. And so here it is, Israel is saying to Samuel, we want a king like everybody else. God ain't good enough. Don't we do that sometimes? Don't we say that sometimes? We may not say it, but our actions is saying it. We want a king like everybody else. Now, God done delivered them from all type of things. God done delivered their fathers. He done delivered them time after time. But we land in chapter 8. Now, Samuel has gotten old. And his sons are just doing their own thing.
What the young folks say? They turn up. You know you're getting old when you can't say it the way they say it. Amen. Get lit. Come on, somebody. Samuel is old, but his sons are lit. Or turn up. You're laughing at me, man. I can't be saying it right. Amen. Glory to God. So now think about this for a second. Samuel has gotten old, and now the elders are looking at Samuel, and they're looking at his sons, and they're saying, this ain't going to work out good for us. So they get together, and they say, you know what? We're going to go to Samuel. We're going to say, hey, we need you to pray and tell God we need a king. Now, what they didn't understand, or probably they did understand, was it's going to be a slap to God's face because God said, I'm your king. Do you not remember? But they just said, no. So in chapter 8, and I only have a couple of scriptures highlighted here. If you go to verse 6, I want to read that. Chapter 8, verse 6 in 1 Samuel. It says, but the servant replied, I'm in 9. Let me just tell the story of 8. Amen. So that's how it started. Basically started from Samuel being old and then his sons being able to say, you know what? We can't do what our father did. So Samuel did what the people told him. He went to God. The Bible says he was displeased. So check this out. Check this obedience out. While he was still displeased with the people, he still was obedient to what the folks tell him to do. He went to God and God told him, do what the people say. Now watch this. You're the prophet. And you know God. You have a great relationship with God. Amen. You know who you are. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. And you understand how to go to God and get it right because you're the prophet. So you have a clear relationship with God. And so God, you're God's mouthpiece. And so you go to God and you have to tell God what the people just said. You already know how God is going to feel about it. But in your flesh, and Samuel couldn't get in his flesh when he went to God. He had to go to God and he had to take all of that stuff away, even though the word says that he was displeased. But when he went to God and God told him, he said, hey, do what the people say. Now, Samuel could have said to himself, self, y'all know how we do. We go to God already having a solution. You know we do it. I'm included. Amen. We go to God with already a solution. So then when we seek God's face, sometimes it's difficult to hear what God is really saying because we want to hear what we already got the solution to. So now Samuel goes empty. He's been dealing with God for a long time. So when he go to God and God said, do what the people say, Samuel didn't stand firm and say, you know what? No, God, you're missing it on this one. Let me tell you what you've already done for these folk. So then to speed up the story for the sake of time, we get in chapter 9. Now watch this right here. This all started, guys, from Saul running after a donkey. Or some donkeys, a couple donkeys. And I want to say today to you guys, when you think about it for a second, it says that Saul's father lost some donkeys. And he told Saul and his servant to go and run after the donkey. They went through 5 locations looking for these donkeys. At some point, let me be real with you today. I would have said to myself, Sal, we done looking for these donkeys. We're talking 3-4 days journey to look for some donkeys. Are you serious right now? Now watch this. That's why you cannot knock anybody's request. So when you think about this for a second, I'm going to speed up the story real quick. So basically, here's what happened. When they get to the 5th town, they run into these ladies that were going to draw water. And they asked them to say, hey, let me back up just a second, the servant. So Saul basically said, listen, let's go back before my father begin to work. Forget about the donkeys and worry about us or worry about me. And so he said, let's go back. But here's what the servant said. The servant said to Saul, he said, the seer is in town. So let's go to the seer and see if he would give us the way to go to find these donkeys. Now listen to this request right here. You're going to go to the man of God to look for some donkeys? The man of God has to have more important things to do than tell you where some lost donkeys are. Will you guys agree? Now watch this. You're praying and holding hands. There's six of you guys. You're holding hands, and then somebody begins to pray about something that you always have. You know how we judge. This person begins to pray for gas for next week. And you don't have, you can't remember the last time you had to ask God for money for gas. So then what happens is you begin to want that person to hurry up with their prayer because they praying about donkeys. If the man of God is that important, why then would the servant say to Saul, let's go and seek the seer? Watch God in all of this. He's looking for obedience, man. Now, when Saul and the servant, the women told them to go to the town immediately because the man of God is getting ready to go up high. He's getting ready to pray over the offering that they're beginning to get, they're getting ready to offer in that town. So the women said to them, hurry up and go so you can catch him. They walk and they get to the town. As soon as they get in the town, guess who they run into? The man of God. Saul goes to Samuel and says, hey, I'm looking for the seer. Where is the seer? Samuel looked at Saul and said, I am the seer. Think about this relationship for a second. Think about this encounter for a second. They went through five different locations looking for donkeys. Had they stayed 10 minutes longer than they were supposed to in any town or any location, they may have missed the man of God. That's why your obedience is so important. You got to be able to hear from God. You got to be able to do what God say when God say do it. Because if you don't, you may miss your opportunity. So here's what happened. They get and they made contact with Samuel. Once they made the contact with Samuel, Samuel said to Saul, here's what he said to Saul. He said, this day God has called you, or God has anointed you to be the king. Saul is looking for donkeys, but God is looking for a king. Good God Almighty. Now watch this. The setup was so beautiful because you got to understand that Saul came from the tribe of the Benjaminites, the lowest of the tribes. So think about this for a second. When Samuel told Saul to come sit at the head table when they got ready to go eat, Saul was thinking to himself, are you serious right now? Man, I can't go sit with you at this head table. So he went and they sat and they ate, and Samuel told him, go to sleep. Tomorrow I'm gonna tell you what thus said the Lord. Basically, I'm paraphrasing here. And he told him, so when he went to sleep, he woke up the next morning. Samuel woke him up from the top of the roof. He was up there sleeping, and Samuel said to him, listen, come take a walk with me. And they began to walk down the road. Samuel, Saul, and the servant. They get down the road, and here's what Samuel told Saul. He says, tell the servant to go ahead of us, because what I'm about to tell you is gonna blow your socks off. And sometimes when God tell you stuff, you can't tell nobody. They know you too well. They may discourage you. You may look to them for some confirmation that they may not have for you. Glory to God. Now, watch this. I believe, this is just me, I believe that Samuel already could read Saul's mail. See, the downfall of Saul was going to already be that he would listen to people and not to God. So he told the servant, in order to get this man, he said, tell the servant to go ahead of us. And what I'm about to tell you is only for your ears. And so he told Saul, basically, here's how it's going to go down. He walked it down to him, step upon step. You're going to come here, and here's what you're going to encounter. You're going to meet three men. They're going to have three donkeys. They're going to have three loaves of bread. They're going to offer you two loaves. Take them. He told them everything. The instructions were clear. Somebody say the anointing is in the instructions. Say it again. The anointing is in the instructions. See, if you don't obey what God tell you to do, you ain't anointed. You're just doing stuff. Y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. See, you can see, good intentions is still disobedience. See, good intentions operate with our children. because we love them so much. Amen. They're going to make mistakes over and over again. But sometimes the things of the kingdom is so detrimental that you have to obey when God say obey, or he'll raise somebody else up to do it and you miss out on your opportunity. Saul, let me give you guys a clear description of what I'm talking about. Amen. Y'all looking at this Old Testament, man. This stuff don't sound good. I'm going to take my son for an example. This my man. My man. He won't look at me. He's so shy, y'all. But that's okay. I'm going to put him on the spot today. And so I'm sitting down. I'm talking to my son. I'm 24. Amen. Thank you, guys. I knew y'all thought I was older. What you say, Pastor? I'm doing good. Tell the truth, huh? Okay, I'm 42. Amen. The anointing is in the truth. My son is 8. Do you think I have some advice to give him? I can tell him a lot of good stuff, amen. And I'm going to tell him stuff that I think is going to help him along the way. Now watch this. I'm going to use an example, guys, that's somewhat clear. And you guys tell me how you would respond to your children. I tell my son, I say, hey, man, I need you to go over to the mall and pick up X. Now, there's 3 malls in the location. One of the malls have a location where young kids are being kidnapped and they're taking kids and they're taken. That's that movie, Taken, right? But he liked that mall. I don't know that. So I'm telling him, I need you to go over to the mall and get X. So he goes over to the mall. I think he gets in my car. He drives over to the mall, but he goes over to the mall where they're kidnapping kids. And he comes back with X. And so when he come back and he give it to me, I say, hey, man, that's good. Thank you. He said, yeah, good to go. I find out later he went over to the mall that he was supposed to go to. The mall that me and him agreed to was the safe mall. It was just around the corner. It was the safe mall. He was supposed to go and pick that stuff up and come on back. Amen. He went to X. Did he obey? But he brought me back X. Did he bring me back the thing that I asked for? Did he obey? Do you think there's times when we're doing stuff for God and God told us to do it a certain way, but we get a product, we think that's what God wanted? See, obedience is better than sacrifice. The thing that you bring to me, the thing that you sacrifice, the things that you're doing for God, the things that you're doing that you think God is telling you to do, that's the sacrifice. But God is saying, I'm looking for your obedience. I want you to obey by any means necessary. And so when I sit down, I tell my son, hey, I know, man. I've been in this world for 42 years. You ain't going to listen to me? I'm telling you stuff that's going to help you be able to get to 42, man. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Now, I'm the 42-year-old standing in front of God. God is saying, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I know way more than you know. I've been in this world. I created this thing. Why aren't you obeying? Why aren't you doing what I asked you to do? For every person under the sound of my voice, there's purpose in your life. And God has charged you and anointed you to do something that you may not be doing. Have you ever been doing something and you knew it wasn't what God called you to do? Have you ever been doing something you never really felt fulfilled? Could it be that you're doing something that God never called you to do? You have to obey, meaning I got to have a relationship so in tune with him that I'm not moved by what people say. See, if Samuel had gotten off a course, what happened to Saul would have happened to him. Now watch this. Let's get back in the word, amen, real quick. So I want to keep going here in 1 Samuel 9, and let's look at 15. Chapter 9, verse 15 says, now on the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. anoint him leader over my people, Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. It says, when Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Now, I don't know what Saul looked like. He probably didn't look like a king. But think about the practice. So if you know the story and you can fast forward and go into 2 Samuel, when he got ready to anoint David, where was David when he was looking for the king? So he had lined up all his brothers. They all looked like kings. But when Samuel went to each brother, Samuel said to himself, self, I'm from the country. It ain't none of them. Do you have another son? See, he had gotten practice here. And because of his obedience, he was able to see through what we don't see through. You know how we look at people and we judge them? Surely God ain't called him to do X. Surely God ain't called her to do Y. Look at her. Can you obey God when you want to do the thing that God is telling you to tell the other person to do? Can you obey God when you want the thing that God is saying, tell the person that he's getting ready to give to them? Will you still obey him? It don't make sense, because I've been laboring, I've been asking you, God, and I've been obedient to you, God, and I've been doing all of these things for you, oh Lord. But yet and still you want to use me to tell them about a blessing? Will you obey when it don't make any sense to you? Amen. Watch this. In chapter 10, I want to talk about chapter 10, verse 6. Chapter 10, verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy, he says, with them. He said, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Now, you got to understand. So what Samuel told Saul. He says, look, when you go, you're going to run into some prophets, and then they're going to be playing tambourines and playing flutes and playing music and turn up. And he says, but you're going to prophesy. Think about Saul for a second. Saul feels like, I can't even be king. I'm lowly. He says, but you're going to prophesy. So God said, I'm going to use you even in the state that you're in. Now, what I didn't cover was when Samuel told Saul about all of these things, the Bible says when Samuel walked away from Saul, it says at that moment, God gave Saul a new heart. And it all came from obedience. See, Samuel wasn't told by God to tell Saul, you're going to get a new heart. That wasn't the instructions. The instructions was to just tell him what was going to happen and tell him what to do. Now, when he gave the instructions to Saul, Saul had nobody to tell that could persuade him to do anything differently. So Saul went and did exactly what Samuel said. His heart was changed. He was obedient. He began to prophesy. People began to spread rumors saying that surely he is a prophet. And so this, I believe, this is just me. You know how you begin to believe your own hype? When God has told you to do something, he just used you for that particular moment. But now you think you're a prophet? Just because God used you don't mean that that's what God called you to do. And so here's what I'm saying. It hurts Saul in the future, because Saul began to do things that God never called him to do. Could it have been that when he prophesied, he began to believe the rumors when folks were telling him, you gotta be a prophet? And Saul began to say, I don't need you, Samuel. He didn't say that. I'm just saying he thought that. Now watch this. I want you to see this just for your hearing. In chapter 10, verse 14, it says, Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where have you been? Looking for the donkeys, he said. That's what Saul said. But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Check out the uncle. Knows it just like me. Saul's uncle said, tell me what Samuel said to you. Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found, but he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Some versions say the kingdom. The things of the kingdom. Watch this. Saul at that moment had it, man. When his uncle asked him, he wasn't puffed up and said, well, this is what God said. I'm going to be the next king. He just told him, he told us where the donkeys were. Now, as we look at verse 11, basically, here's what happened. So now Saul is anointed king. He's appointed king. Well, he ain't appointed yet. He is anointed the king. Amen. Now, this unruly king is coming up against some Israelites here. And now that he's coming against the Israelites, here's what they did. They began to cry out because this king said, okay, I'm going to take out the right eye of every Israelite. He said, then they said, give us seven days to cry out to our folk and just see if they're going to save us. And if they don't, we'll come and we're going to serve you. We're going to submit to you. So when they go out, they went into the town that Saul was in. Now, you got to understand, Saul was anointed king, but he wasn't appointed the king yet. He was still out there behind the ox. He was still doing work. You know how we do when God calls us or something, we think we're supposed to do it right now. I'm anointed. But you haven't been appointed. So you got to be able to hear from God. That's where the obedience piece comes from. Yes, God, I received my call. But you got to understand now, Saul reigned for 42 years. Now watch this. In the story, it says that when they begin, the first strike on Saul was this. Samuel had told Saul, look, go to Gilgal. He said, and wait on me for 7 days, and then I'm going to come, and I'm going to offer up the burnt offering and the fellowship offering. Amen? Anybody that know the story, what did Saul do? He couldn't wait. Saul said to himself, Self, thank y'all. Y'all so, thank you. I don't got no towel. I need something to wipe my head. Well, you all right with me? Thank you. Man, that's a good pastor right there, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Now watch this. Chapter 11, Samuel gives his farewell speech. But let me tell you something about the farewell speech for Samuel. Chapter 12. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 20. Chapter 12, verse 20. Here's Samuel giving his farewell speech. He's getting ready to leave. He says, do not be afraid, Samuel. I'm sorry, let me go back up. Go back up to 12:17 because this part is important. 17 says, is it not wheat harvest now? This is Samuel talking to the people. He said, I will call up on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Now, understand the obedience part of Samuel. Samuel is still doing what God told him to do, saying what God told him to say to the people. But at the same time, he's also reminding them that you have slapped God in the face. And that will not go unnoticed. Amen? And so down in verse 20, look at verse 20. He says, do not be afraid, Samuel replied to the people. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after he says, do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord would not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. He says, and I will teach you the way that is good and right, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Watch this. Listen to the instructions by Samuel. Samuel knows God. He has a real relationship with God. Amen. He knows him, but he telling the people, look, even though you've done some evil stuff, and I know he didn't say this, that you got some evil still left in your heart, I'm going to still pray for you. He said, I'm going to still teach you what's good and what's right, because that's what God has called me to do. That is the mantle of the prophet. He didn't step out of place. He didn't step out of line. He was obedient to God. Amen. And so here's what I'm saying to you on today. Whatever God has called you to do, you got to do it even when it makes no sense to you. You got to get in the word and you got to find out what God has said for your life. And once you do that, you got to be able to make a relationship where you're praying and you're seeking God and you're obeying God. This thing don't just abracadabra, hocus pocus happen for you. You have to do something. Amen. And you have to keep doing something. James 1 and 22 says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but you got to be a. See, the whole reason why you come here on Sunday is to get a word to apply to your life, to be able to go out and make a difference, affect the kingdom. You can't do it outside of obedience. You can't walk and live a disobedient life and expect God to use you to do mighty things in the kingdom. It don't work that way. And I'm going to tell you this right here. Until you begin to really obey the call and the purpose on your life, you will never be anointed to do what God has called you to do. And it all is on you. And that's why I tell the men in the house today, your call is great. Don't let nobody minimize your donkey. If your call, if the greatness of your call is to take your son and make him be the man of God that he called him to be, because God says you won't be great, but your son will. And I've given you everything you need to help him go forward in that thing. Now, if your call is to make that man of God who God called him to be, then you better do it. Amen. And you better do it like that donkey is the only thing you have. And I'm going to tell you the importance of the donkey. See, the donkey is this right here. The donkey is whatever you need from God. See, whatever you think is unimportant to God or somebody else thinks is important to God, it's important. Because God would tell Samuel to tell Saul, the donkeys that you were searching for, they're good to go. They have been found. So why would God waste time telling Samuel something about a donkey? Because that was important to Saul. It was their livelihood. It was what they needed in order to get. That's why they went 5 different towns looking for this donkey. So don't minimize the call that's on your life. Your call is great. Amen? Let me hurry up through this stuff. Glory to God. So here we are in chapter 13, and the Philistines are really getting ready to amp up to come against the Israelites. And here's when Samuel had told Saul to wait on me for 7 days, and then now the Philistines is building up, and Samuel ain't showing up. So the Bible says that the men that were with Saul to fight begin to scatter. Think about this for a second. You're the man. You're the leader. You got folk behind you. And now that the Samuel ain't showed up, they start to think, hold on. See, the Bible says that the number of the Philistines were like the salt, the sand of the sea. Take a look at my wife because you know she knows this stuff. They were numbered like the sand of the sea. Think about this for a second now. If you, the thing that you're dealing with, the thing that you're coming up against, it always looks bigger than what it really is. That's why I told you got to know who you are. Like, you got to know you are a spirit. You know you live in a body and you possess a soul, because it's important that if I look at it in my flesh, then I can feel defeated. But in my spirit, if God say, she prayed it this morning, if God be for you, he's more than what? Anything that may be against you. So it's important that you know that in your spirit, because you got to understand now, when Samuel showed up on the scene, he wasn't moved by the number of Philistines that were coming up against him, because he knew his God. But Saul began to look at this thing in his flesh and he said, hold on, I got to do something. I'm the king, because these people beginning to scatter and run away. I got to do something. So now he's moved by people again. Or he's moved by people. The first strike. And then the second strike moves over into another chapter where it talked about his son, Jonathan. And so now when we fast forward to his son, Jonathan, see, I believe that Jonathan had what it took to be a king. See, Jonathan said, hey, while they sleep, let's go over here and take over these Philistines. Jonathan is bad to the bone. He took him and his armor bearer. His armor bearer said, look, I'm with you. Live, ride or die. That's what his armor bearer said. Yep, that's how he said it. He said, ride or die, I'm with you. To death. And so basically they went over to the Philistines and they did their thing. And so to fast forward the story, we got to understand now. So here we are. Saul has put out a mandate, or he put out an oath, or he put out a treaty, or whatever you want to call it. He said to the people, you shall not eat. Now, you got to understand, Jonathan didn't hear that. But even though Jonathan didn't hear it, he ate of the honey. And so basically, when he ate of the honey, he should have died. Let me tell you what Saul said to his son. Can you imagine saying this to your son? Here's what he said in chapter 14, verse 44. Chapter 14, verse 44. Listen to what Saul tell Jonathan. He says, Saul said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die, Jonathan. Watch 45. It says, but the men said to Saul, should Jonathan die? He who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Never. That's what the men told Saul. Think about how the men talking to the king. Never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. For he did this today with God's help. So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. Strike two. Watch this. Now, Saul, first time, he going to offer up the offering to God. Now, he wasn't a Levite and he wasn't a priest. What was important about it is that he didn't have the relationship to do that. Now, watch this. The second strike is, even though it was his son that disobeyed and even though he didn't hear the oath, watch this. Just because you don't know don't mean that you shouldn't obey. See, there were other men with Jonathan. They should have corrected him. See, once he ate of it, then they told him. You got to go back and read the story for yourself later on. See, once he ate of the honey, said, oh, hold on, man. You weren't supposed to eat. Your daddy said. Think about that for a second. Why didn't they correct him before? Now you got to understand, Jonathan was supposed to be put to death. But the men stood up against the king and said, no. Did you not see this great thing? Because when you go back and you read it, you're going to see that when he ate of the honey, it said that his countenance changed. His eyes brightened. So they felt like this was a good thing. God was with them. But he was in disobedience. And disobedience has its consequences, and it's going to be important that you understand that. So strike two was that right here. Now, strike three is where we at today. We're going to land right here in strike three. The third thing that Saul did was so detrimental to his kingship was the fact that, let's watch this in 15 verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. He says, so listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Everything must go. What they call them, a blowout sale? Everything must go. Now watch this. Look at that baby right there. Could you imagine having to take that baby's life? Will you obey when it makes no sense to you? Good God Almighty. If the man of God came in here on next Sunday and said, we must take out all infants, and he give y'all a sword, who going to take the first kill? That don't answer that. The man of God ain't going to come here and say that, I'm just saying. But that's what it was like back then. You got to understand, when he told him to take out everything, You can't be persuaded by folk that's with you. When God say do it, you got to do it. It don't make sense to you. It don't matter. It don't matter. He said you got to wipe out everything. Cattle, sheep, it don't matter. Now watch this. Watch Jonathan. I mean, watch Saul. Verse 8. Jump down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, he took Agag, the king, he's the king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. Think about it. Why would he do that? Because he thought he was doing a good thing for God. He thought if I take the best of it and offer it up to God, we good to go. But what were the instructions? Say it again, guys. The anointing is in the what? I'm telling you now, you got to be able to hear from God. You got to be able to know what God said in order to obey. Because if you don't have a clear relationship with God, you're out there by yourself. You know how we do. God has the plan, but we always have a B plan. And before you know it, we're operating the B plan and not even seeking God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. He said, in his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. So when you're doing things, you should be seeking God. You know how we do. We make a decision. Then we say, uh-oh, God, we need you. Verse 10 says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Skip over to 13. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. This is what Saul said to Samuel. Lord bless you. He said, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. That's what Saul said to Samuel. He said, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Skip down to 15. It says, Saul answered, the soldiers brought them forth. Now watch Saul. Here's what Saul told Samuel. Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. Look at the leader, throwing everybody under the bus. He said, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. He's trying to sell Samuel on something that Samuel told him. You know how we do. We already know what we're going to say when you go to the principal. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. That was not the instructions, man. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder. He said the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. He says, but Samuel replied, is where we park in the plane on this today. Does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Now watch this. Saul had been doing this without an anointing for a long time. Because see, when Samuel first disobeyed, Samuel told him, he said, this day God has ripped the kingdom from your hands because of his disobedience. He said, and God has already raised up another one. David was a little boy. He had already called him. He had already replace Saul. See, your call is great because it don't matter what your age is. It don't matter what your stage is. If God said he gonna use you, he is gonna use you if you will obey. Now watch this. Let's take Jesus for an example. As I bring this thing to a close, let's watch Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and 8 that Jesus had to learn obedience. Think about the Almighty God, wrapped in dirt, come down to be like us, but he knows everything. He is everywhere. He is Almighty God. He was in eternity before there was even a world, and now he comes down on earth to be like us. Why? Because the Bible says he had to learn obedience so he could then relate to us. See, you have to understand, if he's all knowing and he's God, and you begin to pray to the God, and you begin to say, God, don't nobody understand. Not even Jesus. See, Jesus don't understand because he is you as the Son. That's what you could say. But see, when Jesus came down, he had to learn obedience. You had to understand the ultimate obedience that Jesus had to encounter was when he went to the cross. So you got to understand that this was going to be the first time that Jesus was going to be separated in his relationship from his Father. See, when he was walking down here on earth, everything that he did, he consulted the Father. And so he was trying to give us an example of how we should obey God. Everything that we do should be asked of the Father before we do it, because Jesus said, I am the example. I am the one that had to obey even when it made no sense to me. Here I am having to bear this cross and go to Calvary for some folk that I know going to spit in my face and talk behind my back and not stand up for me when I call them to do it. I know it's going to be some folk that are going to be in a crowd and they're not going to say nothing about the gospel because they're ashamed of it in Jesus' name. I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. And so you got to understand, he went to the cross knowing that he's going to be separated from his Father. He already knew that in order to do it, I'm going to have to obey when it makes no sense to me. He said, I got to do it for your example. The Bible says when he went to the cross, the Bible said he became sin. Now listen to me. We sin and we ask God for repentance. But the Bible says he became sin. Now think about a man that had never committed a sin. Now he must become sin. In the moment he became sin, the Father could have to break his relationship. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand today is that your obedience is tied. Your obedience is tied to your actions. And your action is tied to how people see you. And what I'm trying to help you understand as well is obedience, disobedience is sin. And when you're in disobedience, the Father has to separate himself from you. So you possibly be praying to a God that cannot hear you or will not hear you. Because when you're operating in disobedience, what it means is that you're walking in sin. And you cannot judge it by the donkey. Just because you can see my sin don't mean it's okay. Don't mean that you can stay in your stuff. It's called iniquity. And basically what happens is you have to drive that foolishness out when they're young. Because what happens is when they grow up, it's like sin. It's like having a pretty monkey. And when he's a baby, oh, he's so cute. And oh, he's this and oh, he's that. And as he begins to grow and as he begins to get strong, you can't control him. He done tore up your whole house and you still can't do nothing about it. You sleeping outside. That's what sin do to you. It starts off as a little pretty monkey. And then before long, what happens to you is it'll took over your whole life. You can't follow God. You won't follow God. Strongholds. You need deliverance. You need all of these things because the iniquity in your heart has taken over your life. And you're crying and you're saying, God, I'm trying to obey even when it makes no sense to me. But at the same time, sin has taken over your life. And I'm telling you today, you have an opportunity to get it right with God. See, that's the beauty of Jesus going to the cross. He knew that if I go to the cross and I'm obedient to the Father, I'm going to be able to stand here today and bring us all to Christ. All to repentance. All to say, God, I want to go to the next level. God, I want to do more for you. God, I want to obey your commands. God, I just want to obey. I'm tired of living the same life over and over again. I am dying, and I know it. But today is your day. As you rest on your feet.